Our scripture passage for today comes from Colossians, select passages from chapters 1 and 2. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul wrote to his friends saying, "I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that had been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but now has been revealed to God's saints. For this I toil and struggle with all energy that he powerfully inspires within me. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and to be united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. For some reason this year, my family and I seem to be more aware than ever that our dog, Raleigh, is getting old. This summer, we were in Michigan and Raleigh stayed here in New Jersey. And during that time, the topic of Raleigh's death came up a couple of times. For instance, my daughter Margot told us that when Raleigh dies, she wants to replace him with a couple of cats. She has plans to name these cats Rainbow and Cloud. Raleigh is doing okay. It seems that he has been in about the same health for several years. He has a regular routine. He gets two walks a day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon or evening. If he runs or he plays too hard, his hips do get sore, but we give him supplements for his joints. Raleigh is doing okay, but we are all aware for some reason that he is getting older. And it keeps coming up that Raleigh won't live forever. And personally, I am a little bit worried about what it will be like for me when Raleigh does die. I have never experienced the death of a pet before. And then there's this. The main reason my parents gave to me and my brothers for why they didn't want us to have a pet when we were growing up was that they didn't want us to go through the painful experience of losing a pet. So for about 30 years now, I've been living with the fear of that warning inspired by my parents that there would be great difficulty in losing a pet. This little parable of the death of a pet, in a small way, but I hope in an illustrative way, relates to what the Apostle Paul is talking about in our passage from the book of Colossians. Throughout Paul's letters, Paul is not quiet about the troubles and the sufferings that he has experienced as a result of his God-given calling. And here in Colossians, Paul tells us that he rejoices in his sufferings. At first glance, this notion of joy in suffering, it strikes us as so bizarre, so strange, that most of the time I think we simply move past these strange combinations of words to look for something more relatable later in the passage. How can someone rejoice in suffering? Isn't joy supposed to be the absence of suffering? Aren't joy and suffering mutually exclusive? Well, I'm a sucker for a good paradox. So let's explore deeper how Paul could combine these two concepts of joy and suffering. God sent Paul out into the world for the sake of love, to take the love of God, which Paul had experienced himself firsthand, and to share that love with others. Paul was sent by God to take the message to others that in Jesus, God was in the business of gathering back together God's dispersed family. Through Jesus, God was forgiving sins and making people new, and in that new life, we're given a new family. With Jesus as our brother, God as our father, and those who share in faith as our loving siblings. Paul was an active agent of this good and high calling, but as he followed his calling, Paul experienced suffering after suffering after suffering. In one place in his letters, Paul lists some of the sufferings that he has experienced, and elsewhere in the book of Acts, we can read of his other sufferings. As he followed his calling, Paul experienced all kinds of perils. The perils of being away from home, living at sea, living in the wilderness. He even mentions the perils of living in the city. Many of you country people would appreciate that one, right? He was shipwrecked. He experiences weariness and toil. He knew hunger and thirst. He knew sleepless nights. And at the hands of the very people he was trying to love and bless, he was whipped and beaten and stoned and left for dead, and several times arrested and thrown into jail. And besides attacks to his physical health and safety, Paul also knew psychological sufferings. He knew the experience of having people try to ruin his reputation through slander and false accusations. Paul went out into the world to bring the world the message of God's love, and it seemed like the broken world did everything it could to grind Paul down. Yet Paul tells the Colossians that he rejoices in these sufferings. You see, Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's model was a model of suffering love. The God that Jesus came to reveal was a God of love. And in that love, God showed that God was willing to suffer. God was willing to suffer. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, and his son's life included suffering. Suffering for the sake of God's eternal and triumphant love. Jesus came. He came in love, and he was willing to face sufferings. He entered a world that had been given over to the forces and powers that are other than love. And when Jesus went about implementing and expressing God's divine love, when he went about reestablishing the kingdom of God's love, those contrary forces did everything they could to overcome him, including causing Jesus pain and suffering. Jesus, like his eventual servant Paul, Jesus was mocked and ridiculed during his life. He was misunderstood and slandered. And at the end of his life, he was betrayed and abandoned. He was arrested, falsely charged, beaten, and he died upon a cross. Jesus demonstrates the vulnerability of God's love. The vulnerability of God, this willingness to suffer, was an expression and a demonstration of God's suffering love for us. For in Jesus, God showed us that God is not willing to turn away from us for any reason. God is not willing to abandon us. God is not willing to give up on us, no matter what. God would conquer in and through love, and in the end, love would prevail. Though it meant experiencing a suffering along the way. People of God, Jesus loves us. Jesus loves this world. Even though loving us brings Jesus suffering. Jesus loves us, and it brings him sorrow to see us in pain. Jesus loves us, and it brings him heartbreak to see us go astray. People of God, Jesus loves us, and so Jesus endured the pain of the cross to save us and be able to have the joy of gathering us home again. And Paul became a servant of this same divine suffering love. Jesus called Paul to go out and to share the good news, that God was a God of love, and that everyone was invited by forgiveness and faith to the feast of love which God had prepared. In our passage, we can hear Paul's sincere sense of calling and mission. He had learned the mystery of God, and now he sincerely wanted others to have that understanding and that knowledge as well. And he was working as hard as he could to share that good news with others. He was working to share the news that with Jesus, there was a better life to be found, a life of forgiveness and peace and purpose. Paul was working to meet his calling. And as he lived out that calling to further carry out Jesus' mission of love, Paul found that he, like his Savior Jesus before him, would encounter suffering along the way. Paul found that his calling included suffering for the sake of love. Paul, inspired and empowered and led by God, did not stop in his calling because of those sufferings. And in fact, he could rejoice in them, knowing that in his suffering love, he was in fact right there at the very heart of what it meant to be a servant of the living God. People of God, we have experienced a lot of suffering for these past 2 years or so. I think the most two common words in my sermons, aside from words like Jesus and God, have been the words suffering and trouble. Our hearts have been broken time and time again these past 2 years. Our nerves have been frayed. Our sorrows have swelled. Our anger has been stoked, and our hopes so many times have been dashed. Like the Apostle Paul, we can create an impressive list of our recent sufferings. We have felt sorrow, as in the news and in our lives, we have come to grips with the fact that in our country, hundreds of thousands, and throughout our world, millions of people have suffered and died from the coronavirus. We have felt something of the sorrow of millions of people mourning their loved ones. And in this, our hearts have been heavy. We have felt the frustrations and the angers and the fears of ourselves and for others, for billions of people, for everyone in this world. As all of us together have seen our lives made more dangerous and more difficult because of this pandemic. And in this, our hearts have grown heavy. We have felt fear and worry for our country as the differences in our points of view when it comes to our nation's history or our social order or our politics, as these differences have become stoked and amplified to the points where there have been instances of violence in our streets and in our capitals. And in this, our hearts have grown heavy. We have seen in the news and in our local area, natural disasters take lives and destroy homes and livelihoods. Most recently here with Hurricane Ida flooding communities and taking people's already difficult lives and making them even harder. And in this, our hearts have grown heavy. And then just 2 weeks ago, the tragedy here in Montgomery, two children's lives taken prematurely, and our hearts are breaking. And all of this tragedy and sadness and suffering, is there really reason to find to be joyful? In this season of Thanksgiving, is there really reasons to feel thankful? People of God, I fully admit that the reason for joy, the reason for Thanksgiving, it is hard to find. It takes work, actually. Like someone sitting down to write a letter, finding the reasons for joy and Thanksgiving in suffering. It takes work. It takes the work of reflection, of meditation. It takes something like the practice of journaling to allow us to prayerfully meditate and reflect. And personally, I have the benefit of being called to times of reflection. Not that reflection should be something that only the minister does, but I have the benefit of being called to times of reflection. I have the advantage in my life to have a calling to sit and to reflect and to write and to journal and to seek wisdom and guidance from God. And like the Apostle Paul did when he sat down to write his letter to the Colossians, I, like Paul, by God's grace, this week I have found a reason to rejoice in suffering. I do not rejoice in the suffering, that the suffering is happening in the first place. Of course, I believe with God, hope for a time when suffering will come to an end. And I cherish the hope that Scripture gives us, that one day suffering will come to an end. But in my reflections this week, as I have struggled to understand how Paul could bring together joy and suffering, God has given me a reason for joy. God has given me a reason to be thankful. As best as I can articulate it today, the reason is this. Our suffering, your suffering, it proves our love. It proves that our hearts have not yet dried up and been turned to stone. Our suffering and your suffering, it shows me that we, that we are a people of love, and for that reality, that your hearts are still open to love, that they still beat with compassion for this broken world, that they are still vulnerable and welcoming to God's love, for that I am exceedingly grateful. That you are a people of love, and because of the love, you are willing to suffer in compassion for others. For that reason, that your hearts are hearts that still flow and beat with love, for that reason, I can rejoice, and I do give thanksgiving. For your love which I have experienced directed at me, your love for my family, your love for one another, your love for God, your love for our neighbors, and for this suffering world, for your love, I rejoice, and I give thanks to God. And so in our sufferings, I do rejoice. For our sufferings, they prove to us that we love. And in love, we are close to God. When Jamie and I first got rallying, I tried to play it cool. I thought that it would be sort of manly of me not to get too attached to a dog, right? Alan said, good luck. I thought that I could get away with not loving Raleigh. I told myself I would train him, I would walk him, I would care for him, but you know, he was just a dog. I wouldn't get all that attached. I imagined that I could remain aloof from that kind of love of a dog that I had heard and seen in others. Of course, I failed miserably at trying to stay aloof from this love. Pretty quickly, I found myself being so charmed, so charmed by this dog. I love him. I love him. This past year, for some reason, we've been talking about what it will be like when Raleigh dies. I suspect that when he does die, I will be sad. But I also know that I will have gratitude and thanksgiving in my heart. I will rejoice for all that Raleigh has been and meant to me during his life. Joy and sadness, suffering and rejoicing. The fact that I care for Raleigh, eventually it will mean that losing him will be difficult, but when it happens, I will be grateful. When Raleigh dies, I will rejoice in the suffering, for the suffering will demonstrate that truly I loved my dumb dog. Today, I am grateful. I am not grateful that we have to suffer in the first place, but I am grateful for our suffering, for our suffering proves that we love. We love one another. And like God, we love this broken world. So people of God, in this week of Thanksgiving, I am grateful. I am grateful for your suffering love. And so may God bless us as we follow the call to share that love with others. Amen.